Hey guys, welcome to the Learn Feng Shui podcast, where you'll learn Feng Shui from a classical point of view, taking out the myth and superstition. So if you're interested in learning Feng Shui, Chinese astrology, all things Chinese metaphysics, as well as the superstitions and myths that connect it all, you'll enjoy learning Feng Shui with me. Today's special guest is Maria Blanco from Feng Shui Miami. Maria is a certified Feng Shui consultant in the genuine classical Chinese tradition and welcomes you to the services of Feng Shui Miami. She's delighted to open a door for you to the exceptional potential that the art and science of Feng Shui can release into your life and career. Maria provides a personalized evaluation and concrete proposals to help harmonize your environment. Maria is an intuitive and empathic thinker, and she can help you to balance your home, workplace, and enhance your wealth, relationships, career, and health. Feng Shui Miami offers its services in English and in Spanish. Maria's deep understanding of the mysteries of classical Feng Shui will generate vitality and equanimity to enhance your life in our sometimes complex and challenging world. Her services can be used to help you activate benevolent chi from the earth with timely, benevolent results. Hey guys, today I want to welcome Maria Blanco from Feng Shui Miami. So Maria is a fellow Feng Shui practitioner. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So very glad to be here today.
Yes, we've connected before a little bit and we just kind of got to talking and I thought it'd be nice to just have a lighthearted conversation about Feng Shui. So no topic in particular, but I would love you to talk about kind of how you got started doing Feng Shui.
Yes, definitely. It's an interesting story, Candace. About 26 years ago, my son was diagnosed with autism and my brother lived in California at the time. And he had a lot of friends in the entertainment industry. And it was a big thing back then there in LA where he lived. And a friend of his that was really into feng shui, said, you know, I think you might want to get your sister involved and learn a little bit about feng shui and send her this book. This might help her. And, you know, I received the book. It's The Western Guide by Tara Catherine Collins. I read the book and it really changed everything around me. And ever since then is where my passion and love has grown for feng shui. And I basically just started to, you know, do things around my house. And 10 years later, I really started to, you know, kind of practice it with friends and family because they started to see, you know, that things, and whenever they come to my house, they'd always tell me, you know, it feels so peaceful here, it feels so great. And that's how it all started for me. About 10 years later, I started to really hit the streets and help people. And here I am 27 years later.
Awesome. So you just did, 10 years pretty much dedicated to study and learning and everything, and then started applying for other people. So you also came out of a corporate career and you're kind of transitioning now into your passion, which is feng shui. What were you doing before or during all this time while you were practicing feng shui? What was your profession?
During this whole time, my profession has always been in television entertainment, which is part of why I've kind of, you know, kept very lay low. Especially now with all Instagram and everything, I had to really make a decision because I worked in television news and I really couldn't expose myself too much. And this is really my passion. And it's just in doing so, I turned 50 this year and I said, you know, I think it's time for me to really focus on what I love. And this whole COVID situation has really made a lot of people kind of come out of their comfort zone and kind of say, you know, what should I be doing for myself? And then that's when I really started to say, you know, now it's just time to go full time into this. And again, here I am full time.
I've seen that seems to be like a really big trend. And I kind of attribute that to this shift in energy. I mean, we're coming into this period of femininity, you know, you follow feng shui, you follow a little bit different school, but no doubt you've probably heard the term period 9, which is supposed to be this period 9. It's supposed to be a cycle of, the divine feminine. And I think a lot of women are really finding kind of their power and leaving traditional careers, and even like high positions. And they're really turning to doing more holistic work and really finding fulfillment in their passion. So I think that's amazing. That transition is really amazing.
It is. And that's one of the reasons why I decided we really need to try to get this information out there and in regards to feng shui, because again, there are so many schools, so many different schools. And then, we tend to get confused. And then that's when we like give up and say, oh, forget it. And I don't want to try it. And it's such an amazing, amazing thing to try that's why I think now is the time to really help, in this generation, they're a lot more holistic, like you said. I heard a niece of mine that she's 22, and she said, we're all about plants. And I was like, that sounds interesting. Like, everything's changing, and these kids are becoming more aware of their surroundings and everything that's around them at all times.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, my youngest child, like, they'll tell me, like, I want my plants here, I want my rocks here. Like, they, I'll collect crystals. And so I really do also, again, see that with this kind of Gen Z generation, where we see they really are, I think, reaching back towards more natural ways, holistic, reusing and repurposing items. They're really conscious about the environment, so I think it's a really beautiful generation that we're raising,
Yeah. And going back to autism, my son, he does pick up a lot of, just recently, he did go through a little bit of an episode. I wanted to actually try to get him involved with this podcast and have him talk a little bit. But he just turned 28. And, funny, a psychiatrist once told me, every 7 years we shift, and he has shifted every 7 years, ironically. And this year he's made a shift, and he started suffering from panic attacks about 2 weeks ago, really bad. And one of the first things he asked me was, Mom, I need to redo my room. And I said, yeah, you need to clear some clutter. Let's just, and he's part of the way that he was able, those 2 first days that he was really, really bad with the panic attacks, one of the things that made him kind of veer his mind off was fixing his drawers. He had these 2 drawers that were just full of junk and junk. And I just put in his mind, I said, you know what? This is a lot of energy here that you have, a lot of old stuff. Let's clear out. And he got rid of a bag of clothes, and he cleaned out 2 or 3 drawers. And, you yourself work your mind, and he himself started to tell himself, okay, this is part of, this change that I'm going through, and I'm going to clear out. And it really helped him. It really, really helped him. And I feel like it helped me, because every time we do his room, it's in my helpful people and travel area. So whenever he gets boosted up and does his room, I feel like, okay, now we're going to get some more helpful people around, or we're going somewhere.
That's true. You really do have to look at, like, what sector is this clutter affecting? How is it impacting us? Yeah.
Yes. Every time I do, little, gatherings, and I tell people, I just show them the Bagua map, and I say, go back home and look at what you have in whatever area of your life and see what's there. Just take a look at what's there, even artwork. I remember I had a client that had an artwork, a very famous artist from Argentina. And as soon as I walked in the house, the first thing that caught my attention was that artwork, because it was really, it was beautiful, but at the same time, it was very, it had some scary things. It had like a horse stable in the back, and there was like a person faintly, you could faintly see the person. So the drawing was, the person wasn't really, a focus in the, and it just, to me, it was a little bit, and then it had these 2 horses that were with these knights, and they were like, the 2 horses were like on their 2 back legs, and they're like, the 2 knights are towards each other. It was kind of, to me, very weird. And one of the first things I asked her was, what does this art mean to you? And she's like, well, it just means a lot of money, because I paid a lot for it. And the gentleman, he's got a thing to his art. And I said, but look at it. What does it really tell you? And one of the biggest complaints she had was they couldn't sit at the dining table to have dinner. Their family was just like, they couldn't sit down. And I said to her, you know what? And ironically, I walked into her room and I saw this beautiful, beautiful quilt of a Buddha thrown on her bed. And I said, I have an idea. Let's just try something right now, which is, this is what you know, feng shui is about. I took this quilt. We took it to her dining room because this art was massive. There, me and her were not going to be able to move it at that time. And I said, let's just place this quilt over this artwork and leave it here for a week or two. And let's see how you feel. The minute we put that quilt over the artwork, it completely changed the whole ambiance, the whole feeling of the room. And, you know, that's what the feng shui that I practice is about, is just, you know, artwork, colors, you know, making the ambiance around you and you being, you know, what it's, how it's affecting you. And that's what it does to my son. So to him, his favorite thing is, you know, sharks and fish. And that's what he makes his room about. And that's another thing too, that I try to also teach in the feng shui that I practice, is if, you know, if your favorite color is red, by all means, and your bedroom is in your money corner, and it's like, you know, no, you shouldn't have red there because red is fire. It's going to burn your wood. It's going to, you know, if that's your favorite color and you want red there, and that's what's going to make you feel powerful and great. And every morning wake up and you see some red there, I'm going to tell you to put the red there, but we're going to calm it with a little bit of water. And the water also makes wood grow. So that's the feng shui that I like to practice and teach.
Yeah, you're completely right. It's all about balance. And it really is about making yourself feel good in a space too, because again, I mean, we've talked about this before. We practice some different styles of feng shui. There's so many different styles. But I tell people that too. I'm like, there is a lot of color suggestions I make. There is not necessarily artwork suggestions, but more of like, you know, elemental kind of suggestions for placing, you know, whatever sort of displays they want, whatever kind of decor they want, you know, some suggestions that kind of help balance it out with the elements. And you're right. If you don't feel good, you know, you're like, I really hate, you know, pictures of the ocean, but you suggest that I put a picture of the ocean, you know, in my career area or my north area, right? You know, you're not going to resonate with that because you're not going to like it. And so I tell people, stick to their style of things, but you can add, you know, these decorative touches and stuff to kind of balance out those elements. That's definitely, you want to feel good about it. And that kind of brings us to our feng shui items. So we were kind of talking about this a little bit before we started, a little bit about taking some of the superstition out of feng shui. And so I think a lot of people have the conception or the misconception maybe of looking at, you know, maybe what they have in, you know, a restaurant, or, and they'll have like a Buddha statue, and they'll have, you know, different little bonsai trees and all kinds of stuff. And so those items aren't necessary to feng shui. And so I know you like to also take some of the superstition out of it.
Yes, I definitely do. One of the things that I always get is, you know, like I personally sometimes, you know, hang my coins and, you know, my red tassels and, but, you know, some people don't want that. And that is something that I definitely try to explain, is there is, you can definitely, it boils down to what makes you feel comfortable. If I am going to tell you that you're going to put a money frog facing your door in your entrance, and that's going to bring in all the opportunities to you, if you believe in it, you're going to be okay with it, you know, but some people are going to be like, I'm not going to put a frog in my living room and it's not going to bring me money. And then that's where you say, okay, that's not. So there's different feng shui clients. That's definitely something I deal with. So I have some that will want me to go there and tell them to put certain things, but it definitely is a myth because you don't need it. If you're not into it, you definitely don't need it. You work with shapes, you work with color, you work with elements, you know, that have to do with it. So again, you might not like a frog, but you could like a fountain. And that then would bring in, you're going to put a fountain that's going to roll inwards to your house. And then that's going to mean the same thing as the money frog. So there's definitely different ways. And, you know, you can add pillows with different things that can bring in a career, bring in the colors black. So that's, you know, different ways of getting out of the myth of definitely having to have those things. Like Black Sect is a great, it's a great, great feng shui to follow as well, because, you know, people, it feng shui also has to do with intentions. You know, it's how you do things. I clean with intention. I move furniture with intention. I you know, whatever I do every day, I do it with intention. So that's also a thing, you know, that if, you know, if you're gonna do it with intention, you can do it with the stuff, without it, it's still gonna work. Feng shui is still gonna work.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I mean, we can practice two totally different styles and still have the same insights that would help a client or similar insights that would help a client. So I think it's so
I
interesting.
love also to work with other feng shui consultants like yourself, because if I have questions, I know I have someone I can go to that's going to help me. That I can also say to my client, you know, let me refer you, because I do have a lot that say, no, I want to practice four pillars. I have feng shui consultants that I know that practice four pillars. And I would definitely say, then, you know what? If that's what you connect with, I'm going to connect you with someone. And I'll connect them with that type of feng shui school that they learn. Because again, it's wherever you fall. If you fall in and you understand it and you like it, that's what you're going to follow.
And so that kind of brings me to the next point too. You were saying a while back that you practice, of course, like the Western style feng shui, but you were looking at learning some Eastern style. You were looking at like flying stars, and you're kind of interested in that, but you shied away from it. Can you tell us more about what kind of brought you to that decision?
Yeah, so definitely the first school that I went to with Tara Catherine Collins, the first thing she said is, you need to learn four to five different schools. There's different. You need to, and also the Tao. I mean, you have to learn certain things. And I said, okay, I really liked the one that I did with her, but I said I'm gonna do it. And that's when I learned Black Sect. I took four pillars, I did flying stars, and the flying stars did catch my attention because it was a weekend of a lot of information. And the minute I got there, the first thing that they talked about was the yellow star, the, you know, that it's the bad star. And that year it happened to be in the entrance of my house. So the first thing they had us do was do you know, a big map of your house, and everybody was excited. And when I noticed that the star was in the entrance of my house, I said, okay, so I learned a lot of stuff, you know, that weekend. It was great information. But I found myself that when I got home, the first thing I told my husband was like, oh my gosh, you know, this bad star is in the entrance of our house. So we have to focus on this part of our house. And I got home all excited about doing all these things and learning this new feng shui, and also positive parts, because there is definitely positive sides to it. You know, you definitely have your good stars. But I noticed that my focus was on that bad star that was in the entrance of my house. And days later, my husband said, you know, since you got home from this, you know, teaching that you did, you've come home with a totally different look on feng shui. Like, I've always heard you talk positive, everything is about positive, and now you're looking at a negative. Like, what happened? What kind of feng shui did you learn? And I started explaining it to him, and I started realizing that, yeah, I brought all negativity to my mind. Year was tough. That year was, I was like, do I follow this? Do I not? Do I continue? And I saw a lot of negativity come to me and my mind, not to me, but to my mind, because you bring it on to yourself. But just every time I would walk into my house, I was like, oof, what do I got to do? Let me go back to my book. Let me, and then I said, do I want my clients to feel like this? Like that I'm going to go to their house and say, you know, got to be careful because this star brings you sickness. Like, no, I don't want to do that. So that's where I kind of realized and said, I really think I'm going to go, you know, back to my form, back to my Western. And I changed everything. I haven't really practiced it myself since. And again, if I have a client that wants to practice it again, I will forward them to a person that does, because I think it is amazing as well. But that's where I said I will stick to my Western school, and that's what I've stuck to.
No, so yeah, I think that makes such an excellent point because you can create so much fear around something if you choose to focus on like the negative aspect of it. Because I mean, if we do that mini school of feng shui,
Yeah.
I'll just continue talking, but I'll just put the disclaimer. But we both have barking dogs today, and it's just gonna probably be that way. So it's okay. So if you
Yes,
hear a little
no
barking in the
worries.
background, it's just it's just going to happen. It's okay. But yeah, I think we create so much fear around looking at the negative aspects of it. And like I said, last month I did a podcast and focusing on the feng shui positives. And it really was based on what you said, you know. I think we can get caught up, especially when we learn new stuff. Yeah, there's four, you know, there's negative flying stars, you know, and then but I always tell people, like, there's more positive flying stars than there are negative flying stars. And honestly,
yes, there are.
You know, there's a lot to take into consideration that you don't learn initially, you know, just kind of even in a weekend of learning flying stars, because they have certain strengths to them. Certain things can aggravate them, certain things can agitate them. And sometimes they're just kind of neutral. And if they get activated, there's always ways to calm that energy down. So I think that's kind of what we need to focus on when we start looking at some of those energies, especially the yearly energies that come in, and they can be negative. Like, there's a lot of positive, like, let's just activate the tar out of the positive sectors of our house and focus on those positives and kind of leave.
Yeah. And again, if I would have focused on flying stars, I would have, you know, by now been an expert, because, you know, you that's the school you follow. And like you said, it has so many positive things to it too, because it definitely does. And I love the way that you all work with the numbers, and, you know, it's got its niche. You have to be that person to be able to practice that and be able to really, you know, give the information the right way.
Yeah, that's true. Cause you don't want to create the fear, you know. Another thing, like, so this month, you know, this year, of course, is the tiger year. You know, I noticed a lot of consultants during the month of August, you know, cause it's the monkey month, you know, and so it is known as the year breaker. It's the animal sign that clashes the year, you know? And so there was a lot of, like, you know, there's going to be accidents, there's going to be world events, there's going to be all these things happening. And I was just like, man, that really kind of made me jump into, like, no, we really need to focus on the positive aspects. One of the feng shui consultants, he's a classical consultant with Joey Yap Group, Kevin Chan, he was kind of talking about it as, like, if you, you know, see a car accident, right? There's a car accident that happens. And you can either be an observer of the car accident. Maybe you were in the accident yourself. Maybe you're just driving by and you don't really notice it. You're just trying to get from point A to point B. You know, maybe you're trying to help in the accident. You're trying to help somebody. So there's a lot of different aspects, I think, to look at, you know, in terms of, like, yeah, there might be things happening, but how is it going to affect you, you know?
Yes.
You know, so kind of off.
It is. It's how it's going to affect you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really do think you know, certain months affect you more, certain years affect you more. But I think, again, like, I was just taught to activate the crap out of the good sectors and the good stars for the year. And that'll take care of a lot of the energy, the opposing energy that comes in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, and again, in Western, there's, you know, there's the bad, because, I mean, I'll give you a great example. In my house, I have a big problem. I have my money corner of the house is, I tend to, of my yard, let me change that, of my yard, is the, you know, the prettiest part to me of my house. But guess what? That's where my dogs decide to do their number two. So, you know what? Now I'm always looking back there and I'm going, like, why do my dogs have to poop here in my money corner? So then I started to, like, change it around. So now I'm like, okay, so now I'm like, all right, so what does dog poop do? Supposedly it's, you can fertilize grass with it, right? So now I'm like, it's fertilizing my wealth to try to find the positive side to it, because again, there's negatives, there's, and people are gonna have things that you can't do anything about, you know. So in feng shui, you just find your way around it and always just try to find the positives.
Exactly. Like, I know some people ask about bits and corners, or what do I do if this is here? And again, it's like, well, just, you know, make it as good as you can and focus mm-hmm. on the best sectors of your home, best energies. Yeah. I have heard that dogs are attracted to, like, high energy areas, you know, and they activate the area. So I would just think of that movement as keeping your wealth area active. That's what I would
exactly. It's active. There's always activity going on in there.
Yeah. As long as you keep it clean, I think it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
As Maria mentioned, she started practicing feng shui because she really wanted to help her son, who is autistic, as well as find an outlet and focus for herself to stay balanced. Having a child that's autistic presents a unique set of challenges and worries. She explains how she uses feng shui to gain clarity by refocusing her energy into an area of her home that may need attention.
Being a mom to, you know, someone that has these attacks, it's very hard because I kind of want to feel it for him, you know, and I can't, because I got to be in control. And then a lot of things that I start doing is I find myself that those days, first thing I do is I pick up my books. I have many different feng shui books. I mean, I have one next to me also from Tara Catherine Collins. I have them next to me all the time. And I feel like that's what calms me. And then I'll open it to whatever page and I'll say, let's see what it tells me to do. And then if it tells me something about the backyard or whatever, then I'll go to the backyard and I'll do something there and I'll see what can I spruce up? What can I throw away? What can I, and that's how I kind of deal with it as well, because it's not easy being a mom to someone, you know, that has these challenges.
You kind of talked about supporting mom and dad too, like with a child that has autism, especially when it's very extreme, you know, where they're violent or acting out and stuff like that. And that's one thing I think that shouldn't be ignored too, is your own self, you know, like, you know, moms and dads need a break too. And
the parents suffer too. That's why, how I got into meditating. I mean, that's how all of this world came to me. And it was all because of, you know, my son being autistic. I needed to find, you know, that calm, and that, you know, that thing that, because I mean, I have faith. I that's definitely something I have, is faith. And, but besides that, I needed something physical. I needed something that could take my time and that I could learn something. And again, that's, you know, that's how it all started. And it was all because of, you know, change colors. And that's been a big thing for me with my son, is the whole color thing for his room. I mean, we've played with many colors, and he'll tell you, no reds, no, those stimulating colors for these kids are not good at all. They need just, you know, something subtle. And a lot of them, you know, just can't have a lot of busy things going on. And sometimes we don't know that. And as parents, we want to decorate their rooms and we want to do this and we want to do that. And sometimes, you know, you have to let them, you know, create their own space. You know, his room is all, like I said, fish and sharks and stuff. So I always say our vacations tend to be always in the ocean. We kind of can't get away from those.
It's real calming to him. I'd be interested to know what his four pillars were. That'd be interesting to see how, if he has like extra water, extra metal, extra, you know.
Yeah, that, you know, that is something that I've always wanted to also look into, is like his numbers. And you know, I know he's a Kua number six, I believe, but like other, you know, things that might have to do with his body, I'd be definitely interested in that. That we have to sidebar on that.
Yeah, for sure. I'll say, send me his birthday. I'll take a look. Yeah.
I'll take a look. See, you know, if something body wise can, you know, because maybe the element, you know, his body element is fighting, you know? So yeah, that would definitely be something super cool.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to see. Yeah. I know sometimes there's extremes, in chart, like if somebody has trouble conceiving a child, and you know, they have a lot of, womb issues, you know, there's definitely stuff like that. And then sometimes with mental health, there'll be like extra water, extra metal, you know, so there's definitely things you can look at, you know, like I knew my daughter was like, I knew she was, so there's a lot we can tell from looking at, you know, looking at the natal
numbers.
Charts.
It's it fascinates me that numerology is just, it's incredible, but that's a whole other world in itself. My gosh. But it all ties elements together.
Yeah,
it all ties together, and in the end it all ties together. Yes, we're all energy. We're all energy. Everything around us is energy, and that's just what you need to try to make sure and balance all the times around you.
Yep, I agree. Maria is just about everywhere in Miami, so be sure to check out her live events and contact her to see where she's going to be next.
I kind of tend to, you know, network with a lot of women entrepreneurs, because like you said, we're coming out. This whole COVID thing, like this woman empowerment, is it's good, and they tend to do little events, and I always look for events that I can squeeze in and talk just to give the information. You know, it's great to give knowledge about feng shui, and there's just so much confusion about it. So I always like to be able to talk about it, and again, all types of feng shui. And when they come up with questions, it's being able to answer them. And they always feel like they leave those little events with like, and you always get a call. You always get a call from them. So yeah, it's a really cool women's event. And we always have like, you know, ladies that do jewelry and ladies that sell creams. And we get a bunch of women together in a restaurant and we talk and we have a great time. And I get my word out there.
Awesome. So if, in the Miami area, keep definitely follow. I'll put all the links to all your stuff in the show notes. Anyone in the Miami area too, make sure you follow. I'm going to put links in the show notes and that you'll keep anyone updated, of course, on local events. And then you do definitely remote consultations and everything else. So if anyone needs to get a hold of you, they can just find the link in the show notes.
Definitely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I love the fact that we connected again. This is, you know, it's a group thing. It's we all gotta, you know, power up and get the word out there and get as much information about everything.
Yes, one thing I love too.
The internet is powerful, and it's all about getting the information out there.
Yes. One thing I love about connecting with other feng shui consultants is everybody has kind of a niche, you know, and I know you're very knowledgeable, of course, on autism, and then you work with you love working with the elements and balancing the elements. And so I just love that we can connect. We can, again, like you're talking about referring, if we need to refer people, you know, we have this lovely network of feng shui sisters and brothers, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. Nice to talk to you.
All right. Likewise. Okay, bye.
Bye.
For a free energy mapping of your floor plan, please check the link in the show notes. To support today's podcast, go to learnfengshui.com, sign up for emails, leave a review, and share with your family and friends.